Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Corinthians chapter 3:1-3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as babies in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For up till now you were not able to receive it. Even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions amongst you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men? Hallelujah. Now, this is actually supposed to be a book somewhere in my head that I'm writing, but I realized the book will not sell because it's not the kind of books, it's not a motivational book, and it's not those kind of books that you can sell 1 million copies in 1 week. But I will still write it for my children, so both natural and spiritual. So in case I'm not around tomorrow and people are asking, who is a spiritual man? At least I want to give you an idea. This is volume one. So you are privileged to hear to read the book, the audio version, the live presentation, the summarized one-page book. Now, the first thing I want to put down in your note, there's a difference between a spiritual man and a baby in Christ. They are all children of God, but they are different. There's a difference between a baby in Christ and a spiritual person. Now, please let me ask your neighbor, are you a baby in the Lord or are you a spiritual person? Don't mind that the person has big beards. Just ask the question. Are you a baby? Okay. My wife was asking me that. Why can't you call me babe? I say I'm a Christian. I can't call you. I say I'm a Christian. I say it sounds formal. I was not brought up that way. My father called my mother, you know, yeah. You know, I'm Baba, you know. So I'm not used to it. Then she tried to scatter the discussion, and I said, well, it was not our agreement before we got married that I'll be calling you all these things, you know. So now don't copy me if you are already a baby, because some of you are 30 years, 40 years, but you are a baby. You are a baby to your wife, you know, so. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about spiritual babies. So don't feel... You see, she's not even bothered because we've talked about it. I'm not a baby. I'm not a baby. Don't call me. It's a ploy to get into your pocket. Let me enter my message. But if really you should have that kind of, you should discuss with your future husband, and all these things are important. No, they will not tell you this one in counsel. I'm the one that can tell you. They'll just be telling, be praying, have a Christian family. They won't tell you what will cause quarrel. Like calling your wife baby. Oh, you're an adult. Why would I call you baby? For what? For what? If I'm giving you $1 million every day, will you force me to call you baby? I beg. It's money we are looking for. Forget all this. I wasn't around last week, so let me compensate for. Let me just go straight to my message before I begin to teach another thing. You people didn't miss me last week, so that means Pastor David did a good job. I'm brother, you're my dear friend. His message was very Christianly. Eric, that is what you should hear when you come to the house of God. Somebody say, ah, Pastor, you preach your message. Which message? I've started preaching. I'm talking about last week's message. You are so religious. You can't even, when some of you get to heaven, you'll find it difficult to play. To play because of the way you heard about God. Meanwhile, God is going to play golf, tennis in heaven. You'll be shocked. You will die of heart attack in heaven because you can't believe that God actually leaves his seat and goes to the swimming pool or plays lawn tennis or something. You can't believe it. That all the issue happening now, he has taken early morning tea this morning and he's not moved. You can't believe it. So they will do tutorial for many of you when you get to before you see God. So you won't fight or create problem there. Do you people still love me? My job is not to agree with you. My job is to tell you the truth. Now, I said to you that a spiritual baby may be a child of God, but he may not is not a spiritual person. If you have, and I will tell you some signs of a spiritual baby. Because you can be a baby for 10 years. Are you with me? A baby is not somebody that is, a mature person is not somebody that is a worker in church. Are you with me? A mature person, a spiritual man, is not necessarily somebody who is a worker in church. Even though if he's matured, he will be a worker. Are we together? So because when the Spirit of God is talking about, I cannot, when Paul said, I cannot, 1 Corinthians 3:1, verse 1, give me verse 1 again. He said, brethren, he called them brothers. So the issue of the identity was not in doubt. But Paul said, I could not speak unto you as spiritual. That means there is a communication of spiritual people. There's a communication of spiritual men. There are things that we talk about when spiritual people come together. We cannot say them here because most people are babies. Are we together? So it's what you eat, what you feed on, that determines your status. The scripture says in the book of John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, as many as received him, he gave them power to what? To become. The word become there is a process of becoming. Becoming is not a one-day thing. He gave them power. But the first thing that power did was to take them through a process to become. Yes, you are a child of God with power from the first day, but you are not fully operating in that context. Because you are a baby, you put a loaded gun into the hands of a child, and then he has been watching Captain America. What do you want him to do? The guy is going to kill somebody. I'm telling you why many of you pray, and God said he has heard, but you didn't see anything. Let me tell your neighbor, you must not remain a baby. Now, this is what you want to come, people want to listen to at a workers meeting or a ministers conference. It's for you. It's what you should hear, because the kind of message you listen to on Sunday can determine your spirituality in the next 7 days. Say amen. Amen. So that's the first thing I want to bring to your notice. And that being a spiritual baby has nothing to do with your title. Being a spiritual person has nothing to, you may be a reverend and be a baby. You won't be able to handle situation. You won't be able to relate properly. Every time people bring a spiritual problem, you are quoting Machiavelli. You are quoting one business book, Harvard. Say, actually, when this thing happened that time, the law of the lead. Maybe those things are wonderful. I follow them. But as a spiritual man, we see things first from a spiritual perspective, because we know for anything to materialize here, it has first happened there. In fact, give me that scripture. Is it Galatians 6? It talks about when somebody is taken in a fault. Those of you who are spiritual, check Galatians 6. I think it should be Galatians 6:1. Quickly. I need to be sure. Am I right? See, Galatians 6:1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye we are which are what? Did God permit a spiritual baby to mediate in settling a quarrel in the church? It's not their work. No matter how concerned they are. In fact, the scripture says that it is dangerous to put a novice in spiritual authority. Because somebody got born again today and is very excited, you make him a assistant head of the prayer team. What do you want him to pray about? If you ask somebody to lead prayer and the person is asking in Jamaica to come to the meeting, let's invite in Jamaica. Let's invite in Urel. Let's invite in Moroni. I'm not joking. You won't know. You just think it's a prayer. Because your knowledge is not complete. Are you with me? So there's a difference between a spiritual baby and a spiritual person. You are essentially spirit. But I'm talking about being spiritual. And I talk about being spiritual in terms of your mind, your heart, your doctrine, your disposition. Hallelujah. Are you still here? Are you still here? I will go. They just called me now. I saw a message that I should come to Lekki Church. If you people don't answer me, I go to Lekki Church. Are you still here? David, I don't know what you taught there last week, oh, but this camp, people are loving you more than they love me. Which is okay. For myself, I'm still seeing vision of Australia. I just take Brapart, we'll go. Brapart will not even say no. We'll go and evangelize the whole place. Now, let me talk to you about some differences between a spiritual baby and a spiritual man. When I say spiritual man, I mean spiritual man, spiritual woman. Number one, they are given only to the promises of Scripture, but rarely on responsibility. Shall I repeat? A spiritual baby is more interested only in the promises of God. He is really interested in taking responsibility. So you are most likely going to find that there are certain books. There are certain books of the Bible that you only read. Eh? How many of you have read Lamentation this year? So you see what I'm saying now. How many of you have read Ezekiel? God bless you, my brother. I have a fear. Is the answer going on? We have matured people here. How many of you have read the book of Revelations? From beginning to end. John. Wow. You should consider bringing John into the ministerial team. John has read the book of Revelations. That means he's ready. The day people, our white foreign online audience, when they come here, they will ask, who is John in this church? Because maybe we should turn our intro on our messages into welcome to the John's assembly, where Pastor Gwinga ministers, you know. So they say, who is John? There's only, do we have two Johns here? It's just one. So we just hand you over to them. You are blessed. My task this morning is to empower you so that you can make deliberate decisions that will help you. You can have interest in your own progress. I said to you that a spiritual baby most likely will read only the book of Psalms and Isaiah. He likes those books because there are many promises and blessings, and those are part of the Bible. You should read them. But those are not the only books. For instance, Revelations, my popular scripture when I was a Christian, Revelations 21:8. Give me Revelations 21:8. It's still in the Bible. It has not been deleted. But the fearful and the unbelieving. See the people God wants to send to hell. Unbelieving. You know, we've been saying it now. People don't listen. They'll say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Go and do another thing. They are abominable. Do you know who this abominable? They do things that God calls abomination. Like lesbianism. Now, if they tell you, sir, that we will give you a visa to the United States, but your messages, we don't preach about against lesbianism and homosexuality, and you just realize that you will know your level that day. This is a citizenship, a green card, a whatever, and now they are saying the only things that preach love. Preach love. God loves everybody. Is it not in your Bible? I say yes. Say so, you preach love. I say, but love is not the only thing in the Bible. There's judgment. Tell your neighbor there's judgment. He said, look at it. He said, the abominable lesbians. And please, don't even tell yourself they are not there. I've gone to campuses, Christian campuses, and half of the counseling sessions were on girls who are lesbians. Christian campuses in Nigeria. Half that I spoke to. Lesbians. Maybe there are one or two of you, you are even struggling. It's not your the problem is not the desire to be with same sex. The problem is whether you even want to be free. Because if you are a lesbian and your friend comes to greet you, nobody will suspect you. They will think he's your friend. It's different from when Brother Marcus comes and they notice it for the last 2 hours, nobody, the door did not open. And people say, well, what's going on in that house? But if his sister Rookie and she comes to Lide's house, they're like, they are friends. People who know that things are going on. So is it? Oh my. Say the abominable, the murderers, those who kill, those who shed innocent blood. Whether you kill the person with your mouth or with a knife or a baby or an adult or whatever, it's murderer. Look at what God is saying. Sorcerers. Sorcerers, they are in your village. Some of them are in Lagos now. Sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars. You see, God packed the liars with the same crime and punishment as sorcerers. And so this is in the Bible. So, and thank God, he did not allow any of us to write the Bible. He just wrote it and gave us. Be reading. Tell your neighbor, be reading. Just be reading it. One day it will enter. You see why people don't like reading the Bible? Because it points finger at them. So I'm not the one. Me, I'm just reading what I saw. It's not me that said this thing. Don't judge the messenger. Me, I'm just a messenger. Look at, just write the scripture. In case it's, I'm the one, check your own Bible. Even if it's Jehovah's Witness Bible, check it. It's there. Do you understand? He said they shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. Now, a spiritual baby will never see this one. They like the, you know, promises, I will bless you, I will lay gold as dust. And those things are part of our culture. But that is not the only thing. If you want to be matured, and that's why when you go to the hospital, the drugs they give you are usually bitter. Very few of them are sweet. The ones we give to children, most of them are sweet. It's because they are babies. They like promises. They don't like responsibility. If you flog them now, say, why are you coming late to church? They'll say, well, who is this guy? I said, how old is he? They will not come to church again. Second point. A baby enjoys the protection of a parent. The eyes of God is always over them. And they get a good feeling from that. When I first became a Christian, they told me that I had authority in Christ. So if I was sick, I will not take drugs. I will not take drugs. I will just go to my father's room. Me and my dad used to share a room. It was a 4-bedroom flat, but I was privileged as the last born to share the room with him. And he taught me a lot of things about life. I remember one day he was sleeping. We were talking, then he dozed off. And while he was sleeping, while he dozed off, he started talking in his sleep. And now waking up that, Daddy, what are you saying? You are talking. And I said, oh, It only means that the mind is still busy, even though the body is asleep. You know, I never forgot that statement. He didn't say, oh, it's the devil, or the witches have come again, or spiritual husband. He just told me it only means that the mind is still busy, is working, even though the body is asleep. And then he went back to sleep like that. But you know, I never forgot. This, I was a teenager, but I never forgot. I was in Genesis 2 or 3. A spiritual baby always has the attention of his parent. If you are sick, before you lay your hand on yourself, you will be healed. You will see them, they will come and say, I just danced and my miracle came. It happens to mature believers. So I'm just telling you that for them, it happens more often. I didn't have any money. I stood by the mirror. I just put mine in my pocket. I saw 5,000 there. You will say, when did this one give his life to Christ? You like it. The pastor will not come and say, those of you that are here, this is a challenge. See, you'll be feeling, because even the pastor is a spiritual baby. He's not. when the child goes to school and comes back, he meets food on the table. Does he ask how the food got there? But you, the parent, you've looked at, okay, we'll be back by 2. You started cooking 12:30. When you came, the boy came in. You were sweating. You just did like, oh, how are you? Come and give me a hug. Mommy, I'm hungry. But the boy will never ask, did you add salt? What about the pepper? He's only to eat. He doesn't care about that. Even himself, we are still going to eat. Then we still have dessert. Like my children will say, Mommy, that was just dessert. We want the real food. I say, this is not America. Once you eat, that's it. Who gave me dessert when I was growing up? What is even dessert, sir? What is, I don't even know. Do you mean desert? Because I don't know. Dessert? What is that? Say they want dessert. I'm looking for them. Say they want dessert. What is dessert? I don't even, up to now, I don't know the meaning of that word. Dessert? What? Have you eaten? Say, what? Say you want, but we still want dessert. What? You disappear from here. This dessert. Who gave me anything? What is dessert? Oh, you mean desert? Desertification. But it's the world where our children are born in. So I beg, after you shout, give them. Don't just shout for nothing. After you shout, give them. So a spiritual baby has the attention of God. Every time he cries to God, the chance of him getting his answer is almost 100%. He has testimonies. A spiritual baby has testimonies. He doesn't know anything like praying 1 year. No, for what? See, I just call God and he answered me. Meanwhile, what you have been praying? 3 years. Kada, para, kato, kada, kaba, a vigil, fasting, pa. Then we ask her to lead prayer. I say, Brenda, I just want you to have the childlike faith. So just call upon him. He's your father. So let's be watching this one. His fire, he still has oil in his lamp. He still has oil. If by this time next year, he will join us. Don't worry, just leave him. When you go to a church and you see somebody that is, when they are praising God, he's dancing, he's jumping, he's a new convert. Go and check him. He's a baby. Masters of the universe, emperor. Say, brethren, dance. It is the babies, the ones that love their father, that we dance. Those my children. Shout from today to tomorrow. You are the they will even skip one line, jump to the next line. No, they are not. You know, we have bills to pay. I'm talking about master of universe. I need help. We are looking for job. Master of, let him come down. We are singing since. Let him come down and solve our problem. You have a baby holding microphone singing. Brother, you are not dancing. Hey, masters of the universe. Oh, yeah, Mike, eat it now, eat it. They have the attention of their father. So I'm telling you things you can be checking. If you have 4 of these things, it's confirmed. You are a baby. If you have 4. Number 3. They are easily given to strife. You saw what Paul said. He said, that scripture, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 3. He said, "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy." They are very born again, no? But the works of the flesh, everything is complete in their life. They are the ones that will tell you, "I'm a Christian, but if you try me, I'll remove my shirt and I will beat you." Not fight, oh, I will beat you. It's a one man, it's a one-sided conversation. Fight is that I box you and you box me. But beat is that it's a flawless victory. If you for those of you who know Mortal Kombat and all this, if you don't know, don't worry, it's okay. But I'm just saying, if you know, in case you know, there's a way you beat an opponent, the computer will just tell you, kill him, finish him. Just this one, if you don't finish him, it will be unfair. Just kill him. Then you bite his head, you do some things. So it's in the Bible. So they are envying, they are strife, unforgiveness, 3 years. Strife. Even when they say they are forgiving, you are still afraid to cross them because they can bring back your old sins. Say, they remind their wives, 7 years ago, sin. There are women that never forget, too. Even when you've told them, you are sorry. But the day they start, they'll say, "Pastor, ask him." The first 1 week of our marriage, he left the house and didn't tell me where he was going. "Yeah, how many years your marriage?" "Say 5 years." "Yeah." So, okay. Because pastor has to be careful so that he doesn't support the husband and then the wife is angry. So you have to, they say, it's in pastoral ethics. You won't learn that one in Bible. It's a pastor that will explain that one to you. But when you are doing counseling, tilt more to the wife if you want to live long, because she may go home and poison that man. Tilt more to the wife, then call the boy at the back and say, "Oga, don't worry, let it go. You're a man. You're a man. Just shake him up. Feel it. Let him go." The man can see here that one, but the woman, "Ah, no, madam, this is so sad. Why did you do that 7 years ago now? Ah, you left the house, you didn't lock the door. Ah, why now? Ah, no, Brother Sam, that's wrong. Ah, no. You are mature, should be matured." Ah, uh-huh. Then when she goes, "That called Brother Sam." dear. Oh. Small, oh. Eh? Women know they forget, oh. They're like computers. The day they open your file, that day, that thing you have been cooking, it will get done. So, but as a believer, it should not be like that. You don't keep record of Bible scriptures, you don't memorize Bible verses, but you have the day and the time everybody in this church offended you. So those are spiritual babies. And you know, I told you they can have beards. There are men that they are very malicious. Men, you'll be shocked that a big man like this with beards can be this malicious. Very vengeful. That unless I do something, my mind will not come down. I must hurt him. I must break something. And that's the way he prays. Oh, you need to check all these violent prayer people. Maybe there's something wrong with you. You're a baby. Very vengeful. Look at it. He said divisions. Anywhere there's a quarrel, that if they get there, the thing will not be settled. Divisions. They are always factionalized. "I am of Paul. I am of Peter." If you are not careful, they will separate you and your friend. Yes, sir. And I'm speaking about what I know, not this particular point. I'm speaking about what I know, not what I am preaching. I know exactly what I'm saying. And I can give you a good example, but the person might even be watching. Or like, both of us talked and we laugh over it. "So are you not carnal and walk as men?" That means the moment a believer becomes spiritual, the element of walking as men will be taken away. He's not going to respond to situations the way a normal person. People expect you to fight. They just notice you are calm. People expect you to say, "No, I'll fight for my right." They just look. You are not a fool. It's because the way of men has been taken away from you. That issue of fighting for your right, taking away from you. If somebody wants to take away your husband, you don't need to fight. Just call her. Say, I know I'm married to him. This is my certificate. I have soft copy if you want to see. But if this is not your husband, because you are trying to take what is not yours. If truly this is not your husband, but you are trying to take him, then it will not be well with you. But if this is your husband, you know when he says it will not be well with you, it's a general prophecy. It will affect every area of that person's life. It's not just that you will not have your husband. No, it will not be well with you. It's a very strange, nobody should pray that prayer for anybody. But if they pray it for someone beside, you should start crying for that person. Especially when the person is basing his point or position on fact. So when you see people that are given to quarrel in church, or they fight when they are outside the church and use foul language, believers that use the F word, they are babies. Even though they are pastors, but they are babies. F word. Don't ask me, I don't know, but they say it's F word. F word. They are babies. If you want to marry somebody that uses the F word, you should ask him, sorry, are we doing boyfriend girl for, are we planning to marry? Because you cannot use this kind of language in my house. What's the next point there? The next one is number four. Okay, I've said that. They are given to divisions. Number five, they struggle with growth. Many times, spiritual growth, because of their perspective of who God is. They have a perspective that God is always there for them. God is a father, he's a good father, he's a this, a that. And God is like that. But when there's a difference between teaching and training. When you want to train, you have to be hard. Do you understand? You have to be hard. Nobody learns anything in convenience. Last night, you know, I was looking at an online program for data science and analytics. So I was looking at, I was trying to consider if to take that program. Data science. I'm not a scientist, but I wanted to take it. It's a foreign program, online. Going to run for maybe like 6 months. You know, so I was just trying to think if I have the mind. But you see, the issue is not the program. The issue is whether you have the discipline to sit through. Discipline is not a gift. It's not a gift. It's when you are tested, you start expanding. Start expanding. I don't know. MJ, do you know how many minutes Isabella's exams, like 30 minutes, the exams? 45 minutes. No, per exam. Uh-huh. But Joel will be lesser. You know. So, my kids have been writing exams. The younger ones, one paper could be like 30 minutes. They may even ask them questions and ask them to talk back. The other one is like 30, 45 minutes. But my oldest son may be doing like an hour. Then as he gets older, he will go for junior WAEC. Then he will be stretched again. God doesn't dump responsibility or discipline on you in one day. He will expose you to certain tasks, certain challenges in life, certain realities of life that make you now become the way you are after 10 years. So when you see a man that is mature, you fight, and you know him that he used to be a boxer when you were in your village, but now you just talk, you just notice he's just looking at you. So he has seen life. Something has happened to him. He's just calm. Just calm. He's just calm, just looking at you like, hey, well, don't worry. You see two people, if I say leave them, they will say two. See, they will say two. Before you want to go out, have you not heard of people who went to settle Korea and they died? They killed the person by mistake. I'm not joking. That was trying to mediate. He said, ah, leave them, they'll fight. That's the way they behave here. Man of God, no. He said, no, leave them. I'm you see now, they'll settle. After you see those two boys drinking palm wine under the tree, you know, I told you. Two of my children were screaming in the house. My wife wanted to run out of there. I said, come and sit down. Where are you going? I say, come and sit down. Under 5 minutes, they started playing the guy. I said, you just like stressing yourself. These children will never learn if you don't allow them. Let them disagree and settle. Your parents will not always be there for you. Ah, disagree is part of life. It's part of family. I'm not going to give you a letter that I've de-daughter you or disown you. So you fight. Fight. By all means, do. Then when you wound yourself, you will now know why you should not fight. Because my own job is to pull spirit. Are you here? So training is different. If you shy away, spiritual babies don't want to training. They don't want fasting. They don't want to study the word. They believe they know. Because they prayed last time and God answered. God answered your prayer doesn't mean you know God. Are you with me? Come on, is somebody still with me? This is a very simple message. But for those who are interested, maybe you can learn something. Are you blessed? My time is up. Spiritual babies are focused on programs that tickle their emotions and flesh above meetings that teach doctrine or bring rebuke. If we started this church here now and every month we are doing concert and we are bringing big musicians, this place will be full. Because there's always one musician, and you bring those ones that can sing praises. All those eclectic, those ones that mix modern day this thing with they will come with their band. There was a day we gave this all to a particular brother. He wanted to hold a concert here, a worship meeting. By the time they finished redesigning this building, do you know when I came here, I didn't recognize this place. I said, oh boy, this place we find like this. They redesigned, put some kind of powerful light. You know the way you are watching this song, you see this dark light here, blue light here, everywhere. And I sat at the back. They say, want to recognize the pastor. I just stood up immediately. I said, I'm the one. I said, I'm me. That me. I said, I'm when we finish the service, normally it's not my program. I'm supposed to just go out, go to my office. I came and stood there. Say me, yeah, take me picture. Take me picture. You know, I couldn't believe it. That all the sub, we didn't have sub here that time. All the sub. They were jamming the San Francisco, jamming the thing. I say, oh boy, so this place can be okay like this. Ish. I didn't ask for the price though of what they brought in here, because they put one light at the back. It was just beaming to the front everywhere. Like, I say, my God. Oh boy, you didn't preach, but you don't get this one. They like fancy programs, they like concerts. They like concerts where you have big names. They still listen to secular music. They use it for their WhatsApp status. Even though they say it's just a... In those days, it was Tupac I used to listen to. And you have to choose either Tupac or Biggie, because they are, you know, it's just like, I don't like mentioning these people's name. It's either you love Davido or you love Wizkid. You understand? So you can't love the two. Even if you love the two, you must not say it publicly. So when you are in those days, we have very heavy beat. Just begin to rap. You hear guitar, your spirit will be blessed. You like all those nice things, and they are okay. I'm not saying they are not okay, but the moment you build this structure, you see this man when that guitar enters, you see the way he used to behave. He will now, that's Ebenezer. He will now wear. Change over. Okay, 1 minute, quickly. If you see this guy, the moment you see him wearing that dark shade, the spirit has come upon him. Then you see him. You will not be doing like this. The thing has entered him. This thing is a spirit. It's not my. It's a spirit. Whoever told you music doesn't have spirit has not told you the truth. That's why you can listen to secular music in 10 minutes. You know the song. But you'll be struggling to memorize one Bible verse. Say, it's in John, no? But you are, is it? Is it? So that is Jeremiah. It's spirit. So what you need is the spirit of the word to come upon you. Are you with me? The spirit of the word. So, but the moment you find that you love, somebody will tell you, I love praise programs. I love anywhere they are praising God. I love praises. I don't miss praise worship in any church. And she's always sleeping during message. You have a spiritual baby. Now, this is not any message against anybody. I don't know anybody that has this. If all of you here, you are matured. You see, you people say, laugh. Now, who is a spiritual man? A spiritual man is a person who understands his life. Please, you need to write quickly. A spiritual man is a person who understands his life and everything around him from a divine perspective. Let me repeat. A spiritual man is a person who understands his life and everything around him from a divine perspective. So when he looks around his environment, he does not just see what is happening. He sees what is behind the scenes. He's looking at the things that others cannot see on that matter. He sees his life from a divine perspective, not just that we are from monkeys that became ants, that we now became human beings. Like, it's not evolution. You understand? Number two, a spiritual man is somebody who knows God and is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. A spiritual man is someone, you know, I told you we are separating spiritual person from a baby. A spiritual person is someone who knows God and he is sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Number three, a spiritual man is the new creation. According to that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Is the new creation walking in the reality of his identity in Christ. Are you with me? Have I lost you? Have I lost you? A spiritual man is the new creation walking in the reality of his identity in Christ. A spiritual man is a fool and he is a madman. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 6. Quickly. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 6. No. Check 6:9. What I'm looking for is the prophet is a madman, the prophet is a fool. Let me see if I can get that quickly. Because I've quoted it. It's Hosea. The prophet. If you see it, just let me know. Huh? 9:7. Hosea 9:7. What did I say before? 9:6. Okay. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense has come. Israel shall know it. For the prophet is a fool, and the spiritual man is what? The spiritual man is what? That means when they talk, they don't say anything around you that makes sense. Say it's a madman. Don't mind that guy. Call himself a pastor. He's a madman. He's an idiot. Can you imagine? Say rain will fall and destroy the whole world. Madman. Say Jesus will come. He has not come after 2000. Madman. They say he died and rose again, but they stole his body. Madman. Instead of him to take his life serious, he's going to church, he's serving God. Madman. The spiritual man is mad until judgment comes. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. A spiritual man, Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. A spiritual man is able to appropriate spiritual giftings and ability. Divine. He said, for I long to see you that I may impart to you some what? Spiritual gift. That means there are other types of gifts. There are spiritual gifts, there are emotional gifts, there are mental gifts. You can study some of these Asian guys. I see them online. They teach you how to remember anything. They have very powerful memory, memorizing techniques. But they are, those are mental gifts. I'm talking about spiritual gifts. When I went to Lekki Church last Sunday, I was preaching. I didn't preach. I was gisting with them for 2 hours. Then I started prophesying. You know, my own gift works with gisting. So there was a brother there. I said, "My brother, what's your name?" I said, "Get up." And I asked him, I said, "Where are you from?" He told me the state he came from, somewhere in the north. I said, "The Lord showed me your heart." He held a heart in his hand, dripping with blood. And I saw that this is a good heart. I said, "You are a good man." I said, "Even though you don't have direction for your life." I said, "But the Lord showed me your heart, that you are, that the best way to describe your heart is that this is a good man, it's a good person." I said, "But I saw you in the future and you are carrying a gun and you are killing people." Now, that doesn't sound like an anniversary prophecy. Huh? On the anniversary prophecy, you just tell him you are going to make it, you are going to explode, you are going to be blessed. But God can say anything he wants to say. It's you that cannot hear anything. You like it to be my song, go forward, dance forward, prosper. You don't want process. Process is hard. God will test you with one before he gives you 10. God will see your faithfulness with one before he gives you 10 cities. Say amen. So I prophesied to the guy. I said, "The Lord said that we must lead you to Christ now. Your name is not even in the book of life. Don't think about it. Don't gamble. Your name is not there. We have checked it. Come and give your life." I didn't even ask him if he's born again. I just said, "The Lord said you are not. Come on, come." I told Pastor Ego to lead him to Christ. And while that was going on, my eyes opened and I saw a vision of the brother in the midst of darkness. And as he was saying the sinner's prayer, I saw a powerful sun in the sky, S-U-N, rise in the atmosphere and pushed away the darkness. And I saw the brother standing in the light. I said, "Ego, stop. He's saved now." Now, that was not the miracle per se. What shocked me was that one of our sisters here, who understands French, came to me after the service and said, "Pastor, you don't know how significant your prophecy is." I said, "What do you mean?" He said the brother was wearing a t-shirt, and at the back of his t-shirt, I have the picture of my, she snapped him from the back, was written certain things in French. But she understood what was written on the shirt, but she's the only one who understands French. She said the prophecy I gave him is exactly what was written at the back of his shirt. Can you believe that? You wear a t-shirt, just wear it. The message in French, I don't speak French, I speak Pidgin, do you understand what I'm saying? You wear a shirt, "I have promised to be a good person, but this one. They wrote several words, exactly the prophecy I gave him about having a good heart, but becoming bad. This God, yeah. This God. So we're talking about spiritual gifts and ability. A spiritual man understands spiritual gifts and abilities. He understands, he knows how to work with them. He sees something, he senses that this thing is not a coincidence. He just senses it. Watch that man. This is not a coincidence. Do you understand what I'm saying? That ability is given to spiritual people because a spiritual man descends. Not necessarily ears. He descends. He sees things and says, if this one is like this, watch out for this. Are you with me? So your ability to discern is very significant. Don't try to hear God's voice. I will come another day and explain. Well, I have a class in prophetic school with Pastor Ayo on how to hear God's voice. So you may want to join if you are interested. So. But let me tell you straight up. Hearing God's voice is not a walk in the park. Hearing God's voice, most people say they hear God's voice, hurt themselves. That one for a fact, I can tell you. If God talks to you, you will know you hurt someone. Yes. Do you know, open Romans 15:25-27. Do you know that giving is spiritual? Do you know that you connect to any altar you give to, whether it's of God or devil? Romans 15. Now I go to Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, 26. For it had pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contributions for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. 27. For it has pleased them verily and their debtors, For if the Gentiles had been made, look at this. For if the Gentiles had been made partakers of their what? What was he talking about in this scripture? Offerings and givings. If the Gentiles had been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. Your giving is spiritual. Don't go to a place where they are killing ram and saying they are celebrating the birth Molud or something, and you give them money. You have serviced that altar. Don't be carnal. Don't say we are serving the same God. Does your God have a son? Don't let's not confuse things. You should be loving and caring to everybody around you. But in terms of faith, a spiritual baby, it may be a bishop, will say we are serving the same God. Because he doesn't know as well as he doesn't know. He's just there wearing cassock. Very long one. May even be speaking in tongues like Pastor Gbenga, flowery, sanctimonious tongue. Those tongues that are only spoken in the realm of the angels. But it doesn't mean he may not know anything. And even the angels come and copy tongues from you. But you may not know anything. Don't know anything. You are just there, like big head. No Bible. How can you say? Our God's name is Jesus Christ. Even you are a son. That faith doesn't recognize sonship. What are you talking about, man? You got to look at the book. But you won't come for Bible study. You like concert. You're not going to learn anything by going to concert. Oh. You won't learn. You will dance. Oh. And you use pastor when you get home. But you will never learn anything. So we are supposed to have concert and all. But then take the teaching of the word more seriously. Even more than gifts. If not, how do you know if somebody is prophesying by a wrong spirit? How do you know? Your giving is spiritual. Spiritual people give. And they don't just give anyhow. The question I want you to ask yourself now, if God came here physically and sat beside you and it was offering time, what will you give? Are you thinking? Are you here? I said if God was sitting beside you now and it was offering time, then God put his own hand in his pocket and brought out his offering. But you didn't see what was there. You wanted to bring out that 15 naira or 200 naira. But because God is beside you, you want to also represent. Are you with me? Now, whatever you think you would have given is what you should do. Because whatever is not of faith is what? Is sin. Don't wait for him to come. Just know that he sees everything. And I recommend to you, don't give God anything less than the highest currency. My recommendation to you, as your pastor, I should tell you, don't give God anything less than the highest currency. So, that's for spiritual people. So, put this down very quickly. I have 10 points here, and then I'm out of your way. Are you getting blessed? You see, everywhere is quiet now because we are speaking the truth. When we come for second service now, the prophetic anointing can rest. I don't know what will happen. I don't even know how I'll preach for second service. So those who always like coming only for second service, there is a part of this Sunday service you will not get. I'm not deceived because the anointing is like, there's a different breeze that used to blow me during that second service. It's different. This one is calm. Huh? So someone that comes second service, say, that pastor, he didn't preach. Ah! If you say it again, you'll be arrested. Now, let me tell you, this is like a book. Oh, I can do like 10 chapters on this. 10 marks. You know the title of the message is The Marks of a Spiritual Man. The first mark of a spiritual man is that he chooses the will of God in everything. Say amen. Amen. What did I say? A spiritual man chooses the will of God in what? Everything. He doesn't say, oh, this one, I will make my own decision on that one. No. A spiritual man chooses the will of God in every situation. He looks for the will of God and then he stays there. It may not be pleasant, it may be painful, but he stays there. Number two, a spiritual man loves God and walks with God. Do you know what it means? Have you ever asked yourself why two women can be fighting over a man? It's love. It's love. It's not that they are not cheap. It's love. Because somewhere in their mind, they have invested in that man. Eh? They invested in that man in very personal ways that you may not know. All of you invested in personal ways. So whoever has the greater investment will throw the first punch. So the first punch will send you out of the compound. You know? So it is what it is. So if you see somebody say, ah, they'll take your husband and she just fold her leg. My brother. Just don't worry. Just pack your own bag and go, because this one doesn't have a plan for you. He loves God. He walks with God. Just like the song Papa Devon sang. Way back in those are the songs we used to sing to redirect our life. He would say, I will follow you. I will follow you. I will follow you from now till the end of time. I will follow. I will follow you. I will follow you from now till the end of time. So those are the kind of songs we used to sing, and we're all going to heaven. The moment we change the beat and the song, people started going to hell. I'm not joking. The kind of song a generation embraces tells you about their spiritual state. Well, don't quote me. Ask God. Number three. A spiritual man understands spiritual warfare. He doesn't deny it. A spiritual man doesn't deny warfare. He knows it. He understands. He has fought it. He has fought his own devils. Are you with me? He has fought his own devils. Maybe you're a pastor. Your wife almost moved out of your house on Thursday. MJ, your wife almost moved out of your house on Thursday, but you now beg. Say, because of the ministry. People didn't know. But you come on Sunday and say, Holy Ghost is here. But you're fighting your devils. Because of your bad behavior. You can be drinking good and shina, but you're a pastor. You're a pastor understands spiritual warfare. There are certain things that don't respect your anointing. You have to fight it. You have to deal with it. You have to humble yourself. Well, humility can be warfare. To humble yourself and say to a woman that you are sorry, you that everybody knowing on campus as Tiger. You are Tiger. Tiger don't say sorry to nobody. My wife used to say that. Lazo. My wife would say, are you trying to apologize? I say, no. She said, well, why are you trying to be good? You stay your lane, make I stay my lane. Well, you know, sometimes saying sorry can be hard, though. You should be helping this man, though. just say you are. Just open your mouth. Say, I am sorry. You are not a spiritual man. It's hard. It's not easy. Then just carry all your anointing, come and drag it on the ground. It's not like we're even fighting or anything, but I'm just saying that you should even be asking your pastor, hope everything is okay. When I stay here till 6 p.m. on Sunday, and all of you, some of you have forgotten 6 p.m. on Sunday that you even went to church. Me, I'm here. I don't know, I carry myself, I'm going like this. I'm finished completely, emotionally drained. How do you expect me to go home and be nice to my wife? So that this 70, all that one has ended though. A spiritual man discerns the voice of God. When God is talking through the noise, when he's in the marketplace, when he seems there are so many things, he says, it's like God is saying something. When you are talking to your friend, you can, it's like God just spoke to me. I don't know if that's happened to somebody is talking to you. You can almost sense that, like that thing that person said, God was the one talking to you. You know, a spiritual man, how you know them? They discern the voice of God. Even when God is not using voice or mouth, it's just random on the road. Yeah. You just say, it's like, that's God. God is saying something. And these are things you should desire and aspire for. Don't just say, I'm not preaching a message to you. I'm telling you what will save your life. Number what? Number five, he's a man of prayers. A spiritual man is a man of prayers. And believe me, this is one area Satan has fought the church vehemently. An average believer doesn't have prayer life today. An average believer doesn't have prayer life. If you say, oh, we want to pray, let's bring the whole nation together. Let's do generational shift. You won't see them. Because prayer is not for unserious people. Always mark your experience with altars. You understand? A spiritual man is very meek. Meek. M-E-E-K. Very meek, like Moses. Let me tell you what it means to be meek. There's a difference between... My brother, please come. There's a difference between being meek and being humble. Eh? Or being quiet. When you are a just one person, eh? A believer, no, nothing to your name, just a believer, a child of God, and I step on your toes or I do something to offend you, the way you respond, eh? Could be termed as a humble posture. You did not retaliate. You are peaceful. Meekness is tested when there's authority and power. When you have power to inflict harm or judgment, and yet you are saying, Father, don't destroy them. Father, don't destroy them. Father. Do you know how many times they gang up against Moses in the wilderness? He's the one that brought them out. The people ganging up were in slavery. It was Moses that brought them out. They didn't have power to fight Pharaoh. But now they can challenge the one that killed Pharaoh. So meekness is on authority scale. You just will not give us water. We are going back. We'll leave you. You and your wife, you die here. Moses left them for just 40 days. They could not even keep their Christian life. You understand what I'm saying? Moses was angry. But Moses still went to beg for them. Even when they did personal things, some of them gang up, they challenge him. Are you the only one God is using here? Who are you? I know my age. How old are you? You are 80. Say, I'm 112. It's not everything, it's not anointing. Sit down! Sit down. Then the other, they call them, all those elders. They call, you see, God doesn't call by age. They can't go up against him. Even Moses could not answer them because all the things they brought out were facts. You marry an Ethiopian woman and you told us we should not marry from other countries. Was Moses guilty? They came, look, we are going to kick you out. This is Moses. So let me tell you, your wife, your children, we are kicking you out. What? Can we make one law, you follow another? Who are you? You will know. Now, where is Abiram? Where is the other prophet? Now, we are going to show you that you are nothing. Are you the only one that can prophesy? What do you know? Who are you? Which book do you read? This is not Egypt. Or this is with Daniel. We don't believe in all that braggadocio. All the things they said, was there anything they said that was a lie? No. But God didn't talk about that one. He didn't talk about it. He doesn't care. It's your problem. When he comes, you will smell yourself. So it was, you know, because the guy was meek, God said, go and tell them to bring their rod or their staff or whatever, put it on the altar. Whichever one that bought, that's the one the Lord has chosen. Aaron, we are carrying on, put. If your own no bought, we say we know the market with that again. No? So and I'm sure some people would have tried to look for one fresh one that peradventure something can happen. Pew, pew, they don't put it there. Everybody was waiting. You will see. We are waiting outside. Though. See, I have been observing just that I don't talk. But now, the whole world will know you are a scam. A scam. Moses just do like this. Because you are not lying. But he also knows that only God can vindicate him. I didn't ask for this job. I was doing my thing. I was happy with my one wife. Then God called me and said I should come. Is it my fault that I married a woman? Should I leave her because of you? Waiting now. Even God didn't ask him to leave his wife, despite he was the one that gave the law. Waiting. But not be today. Make I all keep quiet. I all perch. After this, they went to bring out the thing. It was when the result came out, God now became angry. He said, give me space. Let me destroy these people. God did not allow Moses to. He said, give me space. Baba, I beg. Meekness. A spiritual man is not vengeful. Always wanting to use authority to destroy. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. We ask for wisdom and for your help to appropriate these things so that we may be complete and balanced and we may be fully matured according to your will and your word. We receive grace to make up in the areas that are lacking and receive your help unto eternal life. In Jesus' name. Are you blessed this morning?